Thank you, Stephen. My name's Dean, I'm an addict. And thank you, mate. Thank you. And really identified with a lot of stuff that you shared. And it's great to be here. It's great to be clean. And I'm delighted to be alive. You know, thank you, Stephen, for asking me. And the original plan for tonight was that I would cover and secretary the meeting up until about 3-4 weeks ago. And Stephen asked me if I would do this. Seeing it, and I was thinking, how on earth did this happen? And hopefully I can explain why. I just want to say welcome to anybody that's new to Narcotics Anonymous. Anybody that's, you know, been here for a while. Anyone that may be struggling. You know, hang on. I also want to, you know, do something I don't normally do. And I want to acknowledge some of the people that have come to support me tonight. And, you know, I know there's some people in the room. My wife's in the room. My sponsee's in the room. Sponsors listening, and there's some people from different parts of the world that have come to support me, and you know, the last maybe 2 or 3 days I've been kind of reflecting on my journey. The experiences that I've had here and the relationships that I've had with people and the relationships that I still have with people, and in particular some of them are not here tonight for whatever reason. You know, they may not have been able to make it. There's some people that I've seen come to Narcotics Anonymous and are no longer here. There's also people that have passed away, and I just want to remember those people. You know, the last year has been difficult for all of us. And I just want to acknowledge some of them people. And my reflections in the last few days have been kind of a big part about this room. And you know what's kind of mind-blowing? Is that we sit here tonight and it's exactly 10 years since I walked into this meeting for the first time. Wow. You know, I was living out of the room downstairs. I'd been sleeping on the floor. And I was very fortunate to be introduced to Narcotics Anonymous in a different building. And this was one of the first meetings that I was brought to. And I remember walking in. It was a Friday night. It was the 31st of December. I had 2 days clean. And I remember just like walking down them stairs, and there was just so many people. I had no idea, no idea whatsoever. That my life was about to change. It made me feel so welcome. At the same time, I felt so uncomfortable. I sat through the meeting, you know. I remember at the end of the meeting getting a basic text. And, you know, there was a New Year's Eve dance. It was a Red Lion Square. And I remember the people after the meeting talking about this dance, and you know, this building would kick us out at like 7 in the morning and not allow us back in till 10 o'clock at night, and if you weren't back by 12 o'clock you weren't coming back in. And after the meeting I went to this dance, and I felt really overwhelmed. And, you know, I stayed, and I remember leaving the dance, and I remember walking back, you know, through the centre of London with a guy that didn't leave me all night, you know, and I messaged him earlier, actually. And we got to the red door. And they wouldn't let me back in. And I remember the guy saying to me, "Don't worry, you can come home with me tonight." And that's exactly what happened. You know, that guy took me home. I remember waking up in the morning and thinking, where on earth was I? I could smell him cooking bacon. Mm-hmm. The guy had been making breakfast. And I walked into the room, and he had breakfast on the side for me. In my whole entire life, I'd never experienced anything like it before. What I do also want to say is that, you know, I'm pretty sure that you've put the dots together and worked out that, you know, 3 days ago, you know, I was very fortunate to wake up with 10 years clean. What I do want to do is I also want to make a disclaimer. And the disclaimer is that this chair is not about me tonight. And I don't just say that for you, I say that for myself. And the reason why I say that is because many places, many people around the world tonight and every day are doing the same thing that we're doing. Trying to carry our message that no addict need die ever from the horrors of addiction. And our message tells us that any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. You know, I spent many years hopelessly being dragged around, not by the drugs, but by my disease. And I never knew nothing about Narcotics Anonymous. Nothing at all. I never knew anybody that got clean. What I do want to say is I'm aware that I've got quite a bit of time. What I don't want to do tonight is I don't want to tell you how bad it was. I don't want to tell you how good it's got. I don't want to tell you how good it's going to get. I want to be honest with you. So I'm going to just share my experience, my strength and my hope. And just like all of them people around the world, hope somebody hears something tonight that might, just might, help somebody. It talks about in our readings when at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being. With or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. And before coming to Narcotics Anonymous, what led me to this building and what led me to my rock bottom . I don't believe it was the drugs. I believe it was that I wanted to change the way I'd been living. You know, I came from a place where, being dishonest was just, it was just normal. It was just a part of surviving, I experienced many things as a child growing up, just like many of us in this room. And many people have different opinions. But what I believe is most important is about what I'm doing today. So I came to that first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. It was suggested that, I got a home group. It was suggested that I got involved with a service commitment at that home group. And maybe found a service position at a step meeting. There was many other suggestions, that were that have been vital in my recovery. To attend 90 meetings in 90 days. To get a sponsor, to work the steps. I remember I used to rock up to meetings in the early days, and I was still living out of this building. I think I was in this building for about 2 or 3 months after getting clean. And I was still I was still under them strict procedures where they would kick us out and not let us back into a certain time. I remember I used to rock out of that red door, you know, and there was many a time when I'd rock out of that door and there'd be one of them people from Narcotics Anonymous standing outside. Every time one of them people was standing there, or they were welcoming me at a meeting, you know, they were breathing life into me. That desire that we talk about in Narcotics Anonymous was starting to come alive. And I got clean at the age of 25 and I felt like a little boy. I'd always wanted someone to just hold me and tell me that it was going to be okay. And that's exactly what you guys did in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, you told me it was going to be okay. And there was a little bit inside of me that believed you. You know, I used to rock up to the meetings and I'd rock up with a little bag on my back, and it used to have my sleeping bag in it. And I remember, you know, I'd go to meetings and I'd hear people talking about how amazing their lives had gone. And I weren't sure if I even believed you. And then when I did start sort of having an inkling of belief that, you know, maybe what you was talking about was actually true, and maybe you did have the experiences that you'd had, and that you now live a life that was completely different from where you'd come from, I still wasn't sure that you'd been through what I'd been through. I still wasn't sure that this program was going to work for me. You know, and there was an experience that I had that I believe is very important, that is very poignant to my recovery. And many people that have heard me before would have heard this story. And I'm going to share it with you. You know, I was 13 months clean. And the night that I'd run away from the madness and the carnage of where I was hiding, running from myself, when I ended up at the end of my road, and I came to the West End, and ended up using in doorways, public phone boxes, I entered into the West End over Westminster Bridge. And I remember getting to the middle of Westminster Bridge, and anybody that knows Westminster Bridge knows that, you know, on the other side of Westminster Bridge, as you're coming into the West End, is Big Ben. I remember stopping on that bridge, and it was exactly 11 o'clock at night. And I know that very well, because I remember standing in the middle of that bridge, and I remember the bell going on the Big Ben. I stood there and I was broken. Just felt like I couldn't carry on no more. And why do I tell you now? Because like I said, 13 months clean, I find myself on the fifth floor of St. Thomas's Hospital, which basically sits directly opposite Big Ben. And I'd just become a father to my first daughter. I'd never felt part of my family growing up. You know, I never felt like, I never felt the love. Just never felt like I could touch it. Always looked outside of my reality. And, I remember turning around in St. Thomas's Hospital and I reach over for my daughter and I pick her up for the first time. And I pick her up, I turn around and I looked out the window. There was that bridge that I was standing on that night. And I felt like I couldn't carry on no more. That was the moment. That was the moment I believed what you guys were talking about in Narcotics Anonymous was actually going to work for me. That something greater than me was looking out for me. After that, stuff started to get real. My life started to, I think step 11 talks about it. Open up like a flower in the sun. And, you know, I kept going to meetings. I kept doing what I was told from the beginning, you know, get involved with service, reach out, tell people what's going on, and allow people to love you until you can learn to love yourself. And in the meantime, I was, you know, I had a sponsor, you know, my first sponsor. He was a member of this group. And he was one of the guys that I met at my first meeting. And, you know, we was doing step work and, you know, he was sponsoring me and guiding me and, you know, and, I was starting to learn a little bit about myself and, you know, and I started to have some great experiences. I'd never ever had dreams of doing very many things, you know, I hear people talk about, you know, they're able to live their dreams. I believe I was that broken boy that seemed so far away from these dreams that it was impossible to even have them. But what Narcotics Anonymous has done for me is it's made my dreams become my reality, and my reality become my dreams. You know, I'm like a typical addict. One of the first things that I did, and the first places that I travelled to in Narcotics Anonymous, after being encouraged to, you know, to get a passport and, you know, go and see a little bit of the world. And one of the first things that I did, there was a guy and he was sharing at the London Convention. And I remember getting speaking to him after he'd shared, and he said, "Look, you're welcome to come and visit. Just let me know. I'll take good care of you." And that dream was planted, and you know, that man stood very, you know, stern to his word, and you know, I was with a member from this meeting, actually. She's not here, but I know she's listening online. We got on a flight, and it was my first time flying. And I remember sitting on this plane, and I just couldn't believe it. I remember arriving in New York. I got to the check-in gate, and there was all these kind of security and stuff, and you know, it was all a bit surreal, really. And on the other side of the gate, I could see the guy standing there, just like them guys were outside the red door. You know, he had done what he said he was going to do. And it was quite late at night, and we got back to where I was staying, and I didn't want to go to sleep, man. I remember getting there and just seeing all the smoke coming out of the drains, and I swear, for about 3 days, I just felt like I was in a complete dream. All that kept going through my head is that I want to see Times Square. And I managed to do it. And I stood in the middle of Times Square and I just absolutely cried my eyes out. How on earth? How on earth? Does an addict like me it just couldn't stop using end up experiencing this? That was it, man. That was it. You know, I did meetings there, and you know, I've been back there about 3 or 4 times now. And why do I share that? Why do I share that? Because the inside healing process, I believe, is about experiences and memories, So I remember my first sponsor saying to me about, I reckon I was about 2 years clean. He said, Dean, you've learned how to get clean now. Now you need to learn how to stay clean. And I had no idea about what he was talking about. I had no idea. I thought I'm doing it. You know, I'm working steps, I'm going to meetings, I'm involved with service. I had a few experiences whilst being clean that have can be kind of tough. You know, how am I doing for time? 5. I'm going to speed up a little bit. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, I needed to learn that, you know, after getting clean, and trying to learn how to stay clean, and the experiences that I've had with my second sponsor that I have now with actually living clean, and understanding that the three were completely different, and that if I wanted to stay clean, I needed to learn how to live clean. And the only way that I could learn to live clean would be to practice the principles of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it talks about now in our literature about, you know, we have never seen somebody who lives the Narcotics Anonymous program relapse. You know, and I hear so many people talk about it. You know, it doesn't say work. It doesn't say tick boxes. It says live. And, you know, this last year has been, it's been a rough ride. You know, and I ain't talking about life on life terms. I'm talking about Dean on Dean's terms. You know, when I think I'm in control, stuff don't go very well. You know, I'm grateful for my sponsor that's listening tonight. You know, earlier on this year, I experienced an internal rock bottom that absolutely rocked my world. I didn't know how I was going to get through it. You know, there was, I was doing some meetings virtually around the world, and there were some people that I really connected with, and, you know, and I took it to them first, and then I took it to my sponsor, and what it did for me is it was a bit of a wake-up call. It was a bit of a wake-up call is that, people, you may think that 10 years is a very long time. And yes, it's a very long time. It's an exceptionally long time to stay clean. But let me tell you something. I sit here with 10 years clean, but I'm counting days again. Because the disease of addiction has gone nowhere. you know, and I sponsored in the most loving way, just sort of did what he's good at. He loved me, but was, you know, sort of kind of tough with me, you know, and it gave me a little bit of a boot to crack on with the step work that I hadn't been doing for a little while, that I'd put down, you know. I had more stuff to write about, you know, and I remember stopping on the abuse section, and I'm aware that I'm running out of time, but I'm gonna I managed to pick the pen up again on the back of this rock bar. And I was able to get honest with him. You know, and I can honestly sit here tonight and honestly say, you know, my recovery is not perfect, but I feel like for the first time in my recovery, I'm transparent with my sponsor. And if you're in this room tonight, or you're listening anywhere in the world, you know how much of a big deal that is. You know, I no longer need to hide like the disease wants me to do. You know, I spent the first 5 years in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous seeking approval. I believe the last 5 years of my recovery have been about accepting that approval seeking don't work. And I'm going to end on this. The journey will continue, and I will carry on doing what I do. And I hope I do that till the day I die. Because Narcotics Anonymous is a place that I love with all my heart. And it's the greatest decision that I've ever made. Thanks for allowing me to share.
God.